Sí.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب
crowd have been coming for quite some time, and there is lot of activity for the Jalsa, and there was a lot of work in because of the new venue, and so lot of activity was taking place. In my last sermon I had mentioned the practice of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the light of that had advised the guests and the hosts of their duties and their responsibilities. Today I want to remind the guests for some important matters. There are some responsibilities of the guests as well. If the guests discharge that responsibility properly, the society becomes more successful. The hosts have been reminded that they should entertain the guests. At the same time, the guests have also been instructed that how they have to discharge their duty for being as a guest. How you have to enter the homes of your host and when your duty is done or the time is over, you should come back. You must not create difficulty for the host. If the guest were to take these matters in view, then there are sometimes uncertainties and their worries because they are ignoring their duties. Especially in our society, what happens is that suddenly many guests descend and the people in the home are worried as to what to do. Sometimes they don't have the appropriate means to entertain them fully. Therefore, in the Holy Quran, it says that do not enter the homes of other people till you take their permission and also bid salam to the residents. So these manners and etiquettes we have been told are not that when you reach home, but these days you can take permission from a distance. And when you have the permission and the people in the home are ready to receive the guests because they know on which day they will be coming, then you can enter those homes. Here on Jalsa, when guests come from other countries, they have to take planes and come from distances and they have to inform so that there is somebody to receive them and have transport so that they can reach their destination. Since I'm talking about hospitality, let me also mention that we have this psychology and this custom in our countries that they descend on a house suddenly, and this often happens in Pakistan. Since this has become the temperament of the guests and the hosts, and they do not feel it odd. But in such a situation, if there is a delay in meals, the guests start complaining that they have given us lunch at the supper time. And in Pakistan, there is also a custom that even if they have given the permission, they do not entertain them properly. So these small complaints then enlarge and becomes bigger complaints. Especially in the relationship which are very delicate, and then the distances start developing and there is a strangeness. I am giving example of Pakistan, and I am not talking of a special, any particular society, but I even see some examples in this Western society that without informing them, they suddenly reach and descend on their relative's home, and the people in the home thought that they have come late, so they must have had their meal. And when they ask them for tea or etc., they start complaining, why didn't he ask for meal? He does not have good etiquette. And then there are fissures in the relationships and the strangeness develops. As I said, that these days the communication is very good, and you can phone and tell them and ask them that can I come at such a time. If you are not busy and you can spare time, I can come. So Allah had taught us these etiquettes when people did not know anything about such etiquettes. Then there is another commandment that if you are invited to meal, you should come, go at the right time, punctually, and once it's over, you should return and come back. Sometimes they are open-ended gatherings like the marriages, and they continue to have some function, and they don't have any limit of time. But there are also serious meetings, and there are the meal gatherings for the Jamaat, and there are also such meals being provided at the places which belong to Jamaat, and you must always keep in mind the etiquettes which is necessary, and the guests must discharge those duties. But one is to be punctual, and as soon as the meeting is over, you should return. So there are many instructions for the guests. Once the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had invited many people because he had received some meal and some food, and the reporter says that when everybody had their meal, most of them departed, but many continued to sit and were talking, and they were engaged in their chit-chat, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not sit with them. He got up and went to his wives. When the other people also went, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back in the same room, and there are many engagements, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had many responsibilities, and so Allah commanded them that you should depart after the time is over, and do not continue to chit chat and trouble the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although this commandment is about the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we also see from other places that it is a general instructions also. Sometimes the people in the home had to do some work later, and if people continue to sit, they unnecessarily have worries. And therefore, these commandments are general as well. And for the Muslim society and for the society, it is incumbent upon them to act and follow these commandments. Here, for example, in Baitul Futuh, there is a large space, and there are spacious halls, and people hire them for their weddings. It is good because Jamaat has a good venue. They should utilize it. But they must keep it in mind that whatever other work which is done, and there are many who have to wind it up, and they are volunteers. And Al-Jamaat has also appointed some people for this, and the volunteers will have to wind up things after the marriage function. But sometimes when the function is over, they continue to hold gatherings even hours after that, after the function is over, and the volunteers sometimes return home 2 in the morning. So those who hire these halls must keep in mind that these volunteers will have to go home after winding it up. They cannot say very much to them because they are guests. But when sometimes these volunteers finish, when they thank those who end the function punctually, that the way they mention it, it looks that some people do not take this, their convenience in mind, and therefore the guests must keep such matters in view as well. Sometimes it so happens that some guests are difficult. There is a report. Hazrat Abu Huraira reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "When one of you is invited to a meal, you should accept it. And if he is fasting, he should continue to praise Allah and pray. And but if he is not fasting, he should eat happily what he has been given. And to eat happily what strengthens the link with the host. It does not mean just mean that you should accept the invitation, because this is also strengthening relationship. But the second thing which it has mentioned is that you should eat without any complaint and eat it happily, because the host have invited you and you prepared meal sincerely, and you should show gratitude. A believer guest comes with the blessings. Therefore, you should always become such a guest who brings blessings with him, and do not become such a guest which is a problem for the ghost rather for the host, rather than you should relieve their worries if they have any." Sometimes it so happens that they have not cooked enough meal, and suddenly many guests have come. So the guests should try that they should eat carefully and do not waste the food, and keep the other guests in mind and eat in such a way that everyone is satisfied. Hazrat Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, reports that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the meal of two people is sufficient for three people, and the meal of three people is sufficient for four people. Another report says that the meal of one is enough food for one is enough for two, and for two is enough for four, and for four is enough for eight. Sometimes suddenly there is shortage of food. Therefore, the guest should show patience and restraint. With the grace of Allah, during the days of Jalsa, even if there is shortage of food, it is temporarily, and there is arrangement for more food.
जब मैं बोलता हूँ तो इसमें बहुत कम आवाज़ है, इसमें मैं ज़्यादा कर लेता
हूँ।
उसको बंद कर दे। कुछ भी नहीं।
क्या कर रहे हैं आप?
नहीं, ये ऊपर जा रहा है।
Sorry, I've missed it because they were trying to give me a new headphone. I'm afraid I have missed some. As I mentioned, Allah sometimes help them to make arrangement quickly. Once in Rabwa, the people who were cooking the naan, they refused, or those who were making the dough, they stopped. And on that occasion, it was great difficulty. But Allah had given ability to the Jamaat to deal with these emergencies. And Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the Third said that everyone, normally they say they should have two rotis, and he said they should only eat one, and told the household in Rabwa that they should prepare these naans. So they prepared different size of naans from each home, and they used to come to the communal kitchen and were divided among the guests. Although the situation that did improve immediately, but the instruction which was Khalifatul Masih the Third had given, those people, they had lived on one roti also, and therefore they reduced their food intake, and it was enough for two people. So, apparently these are minor instructions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they are most important, and when the situation arises, it shows how important they are. And with the grace of Allah, it's only the Ahmadis who act upon it, and therefore Allah also blesses it. I remember about Rabwa that I used to be on duty during Jalsa, and every evening keeping in view the number of guests and whatever, keeping view in view the consumption of food during the day. This is the method that we follow, that the officer Jalsa Salana used to issue instruction that this is how much food must be prepared. I have observed that the naans were not cooked in the numbers, because whatever estimate they used to have, but when there was time to distribute those naans, they were only sufficient for whatever guest had been kept in mind. And this is also the grace of Allah, that although people had great worry that how this will be sufficient, and then they will report to the Khalifatul Masih that the guests have remained hungry, but Allah had made such arrangement that either their hunger was restricted, or the naans were blessed, and people used to eat to their fill, and it always happened that people were quite satisfied with that food. Sometimes there was so much shortage that if you count the number, then the food for one person would have been sufficient for 3 days. So Allah blesses our food, and we see the manifestations of Allah's blessings. Then giving instruction to the hosts, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, instructing the guests, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if they all observe their responsibilities, then everyone is satisfied. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whosoever believes in Allah and on the last day of judgment, he should entertain the guest. He must do it for 24 hours, and but it should be extended up to 3 days, and the guest must not stay longer than 3 days, which can put the host in difficulty. I had mentioned in my last sermon this particular side of responsibility, but left out the responsibilities of the guests. So whereas he has said to the host that they should entertain his guest, and he must give do it for day and night, and then this can extend to 3 days. But whatever is done before is charity. The charity also increases one in its virtue, and it will be good for the host. But people have different situations, and it is not necessary that everyone has the capacity to spend in charity or go beyond their basic responsibility. So then the life will be passed as is passed normally in the home, and if the guest stays longer, it is the option of the people, the host, that they should live normally, and the guests should live accordingly. Because sometimes the people in the home do not have a meal or miss a meal, and therefore the guest must not insist it should be entertained regularly, but he should live exactly as the people in the home live. By using the word sadaqah, charity, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has reminded that if you are, if the host is staying longer than 3 days, he is enjoying charity. And if you give someone being in charity, they will not like it that we have been given sadaqah. But this is also a kind of charity, that you are staying longer, you are insisting to live longer as a guest. And this way you can be create difficulty for the host. Let me mention it, by the way, that there is a communal kitchen in Rabwa, Langar Khana of Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and it is a very great arrangement, and people eat there, and there are large number of guests who stay in Rabwa, and they are entertained. There are also those guests who insist in their way and force them. They say that this is the communal kitchen of Promised Messiah, we can stay as long as we want, who are you to tell us that now we should leave, because we have lived for such a length of time, you cannot stop it. But as it is mentioned in the hadith, and according to the same principle and instruction, we tell the guests that after 3 days, that if you have a lawful reason, then you can stay. And but you must take permission to stay longer, giving whatever difficulty you are facing. Therefore, the guest must be careful and take care that they must not show such behavior, and which must not trouble the host. But the host or the department to entertain the guests, Langar Khana is now called Daru Ziyafat in Rabwa, it is not their responsibility to show wrong etiquettes. They can report it to their higher officers and take permission, but they must not be harsh in their treatment of the guest, which can trouble the guests. There is another report that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whosoever believes in Allah and the last day of judgment, he should either speak good words or be silent. So this shows us that if we have to make the guest realize, it should not be said in such a way that there are quarrels. And this instruction is also for the guests, that you should always speak good word to your host, So, from both sides, this is an admonition for both sides, that both parties, the host as well as the guest, should speak a good word to each other. And once he was asked what is meant by putting the host in difficulty, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "In this, what it means is that the host has nothing to entertain them with, and the guests should insist to stay on. Therefore, to establish a happy society, the Holy Prophet ﷺ has instructed us by going deep into these matters, and some people in the household have difficulty by put in difficulty by the ghost, and sometimes by the host. The host is put in difficulty by the guest, that sometimes they take on money on loan to entertain their guests. And some people deliberately, purposely put a burden of hospitality, especially in the non-Ahmadi society, I don't think it is in Ahmadis, that when there is a death in the house, they put too much pressure. They have also to deal with the death in the house, and they also put too much pressure as guests. And similarly, on marriages, they waste food, and if someone does not arrange a high level of meals, they give them bad name. So these are bad customs, but with the grace of Allah, the Ahmadi society is protected from such behavior. They say that the ghost, the host is a mercy, but rather than being a mercy, they become of trouble to the host. Therefore, I'm telling those who have come from abroad that they must keep in mind, especially those who have come from Pakistan, that whose relatives are the one who are entertaining them and they are staying with them as guests, that people here have to go to work. And it is necessary for them to do their employment, to carry out their employment, and therefore you should follow their times, and the guest must not have unnecessary expectations from their host, that he should not go to work and take you to visit places, and according to your wishes they should readjust their programs. Therefore, you should avoid being a cause of a problem for your host, and become a means and a source of mercy and compassion for them. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ also taught us these manners, that if you have been invited to a meal, only those should go who have been specifically invited. And if there are any special situation, you have to take permission from your host to take more people, because if there are too many people, there is sometimes difficulty in providing the food. There is another report that Abu Shaib went to a Christian employee and said that arrange food for 5 people. I think the Holy Prophet ﷺ has not had food for some time, and I can see those signs. So when the Holy Prophet ﷺ was invited, then another person accompanied him who had not been invited. When the Holy Prophet ﷺ reached his home, the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "A person has come with us who was not with us when you had invited us. If you permit us, he can also join us." He said, "We do permit that he can also join in the meal." So these models which the Holy Prophet ﷺ had set is to remind us of these matters. Even if he took an extra man with the Holy Prophet, what would the host say? He knew that even if 100 people accompanied the Holy Prophet, his prayers will bless the meal and it will be sufficient for all of them. And we do have such examples that Allah does bless the meal when the Holy Prophet is invited. So these examples which he set are for guidance, are for our guidance, that what will be the etiquette of the guests. That he must not take somebody extra to those who have been invited, and if the host does not permit, then the extra people must not feel upset. And these are the fundamental etiquettes and morals. For example, marriage, if they have invited only the couple, husband and wife, they sometimes take their children with them. And as I said, this sometimes upset their arrangements. And therefore, you should take good care for this as well. High morals will only be established when we will not consider minor matters as too small or minor. They say that although children don't eat very much, but they do waste quite a bit of food, and therefore they should always give the food to the children in smaller quantity. And we have seen mostly that they fill the plates of the children, and therefore the food is wasted. And some people do fill their own plates and they cannot finish it, and then the food is wasted. Therefore you must take full care of it, especially during the days of Jalsa. If you are serving yourself, you should take care, but if the workers are putting the food for you, they should take care. Of course, you can have second helpings, but you must not refuse anyone who is on duty to give the food to the guest when he demands. But the guests must not take so much food that they cannot finish it. Now, I will mention an incident of the companion of Hazrat Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, how he entertained the guest and how the guests behaved. Hazrat Sheikh Hamid Ali Saab reports that I will now mention that incident which I have mentioned earlier, that the Promised Messiah has given me a bed, and sometimes the guest would lie on my bed and I would lie on the floor, and some guests would lie on the bed. And he said, I would never feel awkward and bad about it, because I knew they were guests, and some guests would throw my bedding on the floor and put their own bedding in the bed. And some lady informed the Promised Messiah that Hapir Hamid Ali is lying on the floor, sleeping on the floor. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what happened to the bed I gave him? And the lady said, I don't know about it. Promised Messiah then went himself there, and Hamid Ali Sahib says that Promised Messiah called me and said, why are you lying on the floor? And this is rainy season and there can be some insects. I told Promised Messiah the situation, and that I don't say anything to the guests because we must entertain them. Hearing this, Promised Messiah went in and in his own house and sent another bed. And after one or two days, I lost that bed as well in the same way, and the same situation happened. and someone informed Promised Messiah once again, and he sent another bed for me. And few days later, it happened exactly the same, and Promised Messiah sent me another bed. In the morning prayer, Promised Messiah said that, Sahibzada Sahib, what you do is right, and that is how my companion should serve the guests. But I will give you a chain. You can tie the bed and hang it to the ceiling. And from Hamid Ali Sahib said that there are some clever people who will cut off the chain and bring the bed down. And at this Promised Messiah also smiled and said that these are the high morals which Sahibzada Sahib is demonstrating. But according to this hadith, that either speak good words or keep silent, you must not say anything to the guest. But Promised Messiah said, this is how you can protect your bed. So it is necessary to entertain the guest, but the guest must also know that he must not force himself on them and demand rights. Otherwise, you will have to put a lock so that there is a bed available to the for the host. So the guests must use lawfully their rights of being a guest. Not that after 3 days that the guest should stay on in the home and the householder should go out. It does happen during the days of Jalsa, and it happened in Rabwa and also in Qadian, that during the days of Jalsa, that sometimes for 3, 4, 5 days or for 1 week, people used to offer their homes for the guests. And they used to sleep themselves in tents outside. But this is with the when the host offers it happily. It's not the guest who force them to do it. So whereas the host shows high morals, but the guest should also adopt such high morals. Here people also entertain and do hospitality and offer their homes for the guests, but some guests have more expectations than necessary, and they use it unlawfully, the right of their being a guest. And some say that we have come from a long distance from Pakistan, and perhaps we won't have another opportunity. We want to go shopping, please take us for shopping as well. Then they also let the host spend money for them. Sometimes the host gives buy something as a gift to them. But sometimes the host says that I haven't got in pound sterling the currency with me. I will give you back. They will give it. We will give it to you when they go back to Europe or back to Pakistan. Some people do that, not always. And sometimes they ask him to pay for their shopping. And you must avoid this. I said that such guests who force themselves or those who make them do shopping for them, they are only one or two people, but they are a cause of giving bad name to all others. Then a host is put himself in difficulty by inviting guests because he is then missing. Has been forced to live outside or spend money for them. They are sometimes close relations, and they're delicate relations, and there is the Punjabi, there is a phrase which says that you give us luggage, but you should also transport it. and also let make arrangement that we can go home as well, because sometimes the shops do so much shopping that they are not allowed that much weight to carry, and so they leave it behind with the host, that make arrangement for this luggage to come to us, or ask somebody to bring it to us when he's coming, and the host never finds somebody who has more capacity to take with him. And if he cannot do, then they say that the man is so irresponsible, I have left some luggage with him and he hasn't made the arrangement for it to come to me. We must avoid such things, and there must not be even a single example of such things that they force their host into such difficulties. When they come to the Jalsa, they should always keep the real aim of Jalsa in view. The blessings of Jalsa, and they should fill their pouches with the prayers of Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, rather taking shopping with them. And there is never better luggage that you can carry with you than the blessings of prayers of Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. So you should participate in Jalsa with the good morals, and keep this aim in view, that we have to take blessings and please Allah and listens to the proceedings of Jalsa. Hazrat Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said, and has reminded us, that you should listen attentively and fully, and do not think how good or bad the orator is, but listen to what good thing they are telling. He says that listens carefully. I prefer for myself and for others that I should not be verbose in my speeches, and the whole aim must not be how great an orator one is and how forceful words he is using. I would not be pleased with that. I do not like this, not with formality, and whatever I desire is that my nature likes that whatever you do is for God, and whatever you speak is for God. And this is the great reason for the decline of Muslims, that they do have many gatherings and they are great orators which speak to them. And why do the poets talk of the bad aspects of Muslims, and why of their decline? Why? Because the speaker do not go there, or the participant do not go there with sincerity. Every Ahmadi must keep this sincerity in view, and they must come with this aim. As Promised Messiah said, that whatever work you do is for God, and whatever words you speak is for God. Each one must keep this principle in view and benefit from the blessings of Jalsa. And at each and every step, one should try to benefit from Allah's pleasure. You should listen to all the speeches, and you must not think of going to bazaar or do shopping, or I have to do such and such other duties. When you come to Jalsa, you must keep the Jalsa aim in view. And whatever word of piety you hear, you must try to adopt it. Try to live your life that whatever things of virtue you have been told, you should follow them, and you should perform your salat and nawafil regularly. And when these surroundings will be of prayers, and then you will be benefiting from Allah's blessings. Hazrat Promised Messiah has mentioned this in these words. He says that I had another thought, and it is that Allah has said that during the days of Jalsa you should remember Allah. Allah has told me the benefit is Uzkurullaha yazkurukum, that if you will remember Allah, Allah will also remember you. who can be more fortunate than the one whose master calls him? So the remembrance of Allah is that you should engage in remembrance of Allah just for this reason, that these are special days to attract Allah's blessings. And as I said, that you must not think of other engagement, worldly engagements, or do this work or get this benefit or that benefit. I was a guest and they have not looked after my needs, and such arrangement was not right. And there can be such complaints, because it's a huge work during Jalsa, and especially in this particular venue, the surroundings are totally different. It is possible that you are facing some difficulties. You should bear them. And the full attention should be to this, that during these days, you should keep your heart, your mind, your souls filled with the remembrance of Allah, and have to advance in each piety and virtue. You must pray during these days. And pray much for yourself, for your wife and for children, for your offsprings, and for those workers of the Jamaat who are volunteers, and also the devotees. And the missionaries which are spread throughout the world of Jamaat, you should pray for Jamaat, pray for the advancement of Jamaat in different countries. Like, for example, in Indonesia, the opponents are shouting too much, so they also say that the Jamaat should be banned or should put restrictions on them. And similarly, the opponents in Bangladesh also try various things during their convention. They attacked, and they also attacked our center. Apparently, the government is also being forced by the opponents. So during these days, pray a great deal for these oppressed people. May Allah protect every Ahmadi from all problems. And as you are sitting in peaceful surroundings in Jalsa, may they also have such opportunity, and also have such opportunities in Pakistan. This is a great favor of the government of this country, that despite the fact that there have been terrorist incidents in the past few days, and they have lost a lot of lives, but they have been saying that the culprits were also Muslims and Pakistanis, so they are blaming Muslims, whereas there are extremists here among the local people who show a deep reaction against the Muslims. But the government here fulfills the demands of justice. They are providing full protection to us. May Allah give them reward for this. And as a result of this virtue, may Allah enable them to recognize the truth. Our dependence is entirely on Allah, and we put our full trust in Allah, and we do the physical arrangements, material arrangements, that as it says that you should hobble your camel before putting trust in God. So you should engage in prayer, especially in these days, and always seek Allah's blessings and His protection, and always act upon the instruction of Promised Messiah, where He says that My admonition to the Jamaat is the same, that because they have to take on a magnificent work, they should try to have their pious end. And the good end is that to mold your life following taqwa, righteousness, and act upon it. And this is what gives you a good end. Every act you should perform to the pleasure of Allah. Only then you will have a good end. And by being exclusively of God, you will have to adorn this with your prayers. So therefore, with the practice and acts, you must also put emphasis on prayer. And you will do pray as it is ought to be prayed. You will pray with doing your duty to God and duty to fellow men. Then that prayer will be acceptable. May Allah enable everyone to mold their life accordingly, all the guests and the hosts and all those who are listening to this gathering, and all the Ahmadis living throughout the world. By understanding the full aim of this prayer, do it as it ought to be done. I will now give you few instructions that are normally given on these Jalsa gatherings. The program which has been printed, it has been it has included all the other instructions, but it is possible that some people have not taken that program, and some people only look at the program and do not read it fully. Therefore, first of all, they should read those instructions attentively which have been written in the program and try to act upon them. As I said before, the most important instruction is that you should pay special attention to prayer and to salats. And there are stalls in bazaar, and when there is proceedings of jalsa and the time of salat prayer, they should not attend and go to those stalls. They must not go to those stalls, because the stalls will be closed during those times. And those who are setting up stalls, they must keep also this in mind, as in the past year they have shown great example. They should do the same again and close the stalls during these proceedings and prayers. If there is an emergency and someone wants to have some food, the Department of Hospitality can fulfill that. And therefore, if they have any need, they should be able to fulfill it in their homes and even during the jalsa. And the workers should put emphasis on prayers, so that all the work is done safely, and we can't do without the prayers. But if Allah is pleased, then the host, the guest will also be pleased. Therefore, you should be regular in the prayers, salat prayers. The mothers or fathers who bring children with them, they should try that the children should sit with them. And if there is no space near them, then they should sit at the appropriate place sanctioned for the children, or sit at the back of the marquees, main marquee, so that other people are not disturbed with the children. As I have mentioned with the quotation from Promised Messiah, that you should attentively listen to the proceedings, and the ladies should take care of veil, and the mother should also restrain their looks, and also keep the cleanliness in mind. This venue has been hired, and we have hired it temporarily. Therefore, whether they are guests coming from abroad, or they are guests from UK, or they are workers here, they should keep their surroundings clean, and if they see any litter lying around, they should pick it up and put it in the appropriate bins, so that the owners of this venue should not know that these people have put litter in our area. As I had mentioned, that in this situation these days, some extremists have unfavorable view against Muslims, and sometimes they have shown their reaction in small cities. Those who do not know about Jamaat Ahmadiyya, they think we are also similar to them, who are terrorists and creating problems. So we will have to set better examples, and if there is a mischief from the young extremists, and if someone tries to molest you or try to abuse you, to try to protect from it, if there is a need, or if there is any policeman around, you should seek his help, or restrain yourself and come out. And if someone tries to hurt you physically, you should inform the police or inform the organizers here. You must not try to take action and leave that place quickly, so that nobody has an opportunity to create problem. Because this is what our command to us, that we should come quietly from such places and leave. And ladies must not unnecessarily visit bazaars and high streets, because there can be some mischief there. The this whole venue, which is Mahdi's Jalsaga Marquis, or the residential marquees, there are security duties of Khuddam, and also police keeping a watch on this area. But each one of us must keep an eye and be watchful of our surroundings. And if you think that someone has come in for reasons of mischief, you should inform the organizers immediately if you have any doubt about someone. And you should keep watch, and do not let him disappear from your watch. And especially among the ladies, you must keep this aspect of security in mind. Even if somebody has come in veil and does not take off veil, even in the ladies' marquee, you must specially be watchful of them. But you should be watchful so that you do not put someone in difficulty. And this is the duty of every Ahmadi, that they should pray for the Jalsa be blessed. And by having self-reform, you should also pray for the successful conclusion of this Jalsa. And may Allah bless everyone and enable everyone to be a beneficiary of these prayers. Ameen.
ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله
نشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.